Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hey, Jill.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good.
We've got two great guests today. Let me read this bio because Rick has been he's been on the show already, and we had the pleasure of having his wife on. So since 1994, Rick has been CEO of MCA, an investment holding company which has made more than 100 investments. Rick married Melissa in 2006, and they have four beautiful children. Their commitment to themselves and their family is one that we should all aspire to. Welcome to the show, Melissa and Rick. How you guys doing?
Welcome.
Good.
Rick, my first question goes to Melissa. Melissa, why did you marry Rick?
Oh, boy. I knew you were going to ask that, but I still... I'm trying to think how I want to explain it.
What was it? Tell me. I want to know about the first thought when you had when you saw him.
Well, the first thought I had.
What do you think? You know the first thought.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know what to expect. I thought he was way too old for me. I thought that he was way too New York and Italian for me. Mm-hmm. But we lived in this building where everybody kind of got together a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I got to see him and meet him a little bit. And then one day he asked me if I wanted to go to dinner, and I had no clue what to expect. I had no clue what he was really like. And we went to dinner, and it was an hour dinner. But when we were finished, I thought, wow, he's such an amazing, kind, loving person. He loved his family. He has seven brothers and sisters. He was completely connected to all of them. He would call them all every week. He loved his mom. He was Catholic. He was just everything I thought that I wanted in mm-hmm. a man, but
just a little too old.
But age is just a number.
Comes in different packages, right?
Yes. You know what's funny? I tease her parents because I'm from Hoboken, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Kansas City, and I still call them hillbillies to this point.
Right.
And Rick, what did you think that first dinner? What did you think?
So we're in the same building, and several people said you need to meet Melissa. And I'm like, you know, I was 40 at the time; she was 25 at the time. I'm like, first of all, she's too young. Second of all, she lives in the building, and it was a small building with like 70 people, and it was a condo in downtown Dallas, which I moved to right after 9/11. I was living a couple of blocks from the World Trade Center, so the reason I moved into that building was because of 9/11. So I felt when I got to that building that it was a turning point in my life. I didn't know why. And now I know why.
Wow. So what was on that list?
Oh, there's a lot of things on the list. I showed her the list on our second or third date. And, you know, it's funny, as a 20, you know, even though she was in her 20s, she mm-hmm. she would do dinner parties in the building, and I would go and watch her. And she was just amazing. You're running the show, and I'm like, wow. And I've always heard that when you have two type A's, it's better if you're far apart in age. So I knew she was a type A, and I was like, damn, this girl knows how to handle herself. So the first thing that I wrote was confidence and high self-esteem, resolute and convicted in her values, straight talker, doesn't bring up past arguments, didn't come from any prior relationships, comes from a good family. Because, you know, oftentimes you get in relationship with people mm-hmm. and they come from a bad family, or they had a bad breakup, or they have a lot of history. And my grandmother told me, she said, when you marry somebody that has a lot of history, it's like having a statue that's been cracked, broken, and put back together. They still look good, but there's a lot of cracks, and there's nothing wrong with those people. I don't want to be judgmental, mm-hmm. but marriage is hard enough. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I had a list. I wanted to make sure that they fit all of those intangible things that you don't think about. Mm-hmm. So what about you? Well, you want to ask her about her list?
Sure. Well, I mean,
her list was shorter than mine.
Well, the first thing is, what did you think, Melissa, when you got a list? What were you thinking? Like, wow, this either he's prepared or this guy is nuts.
Well, I've always thought he was nuts. part of his charm. honestly, I didn't really think too much of it. I just read it and felt honored that I think he was thinking that I made the list. I did not make the foreign language cut. That was number 15. And I still get reminded about that one. But I think I felt just grateful. And, you know, some of the things he put on there, surprising. I think, but I didn't see myself in some of those ways. So it's
So that's great. What did you have for him? What did you make a list for him and say, this is what I'm looking for? Did you have something in, you know, in your mind or?
I did not have a list. I'm not
clearly.
I don't think our marriage would have survived if we both had 22 personality trait lists for each other. You know, I think we're just similar in many ways, but different in a lot of ways. No, I just knew what I didn't. I knew what I did not want. And that was easy to find. And he is a good man. And he does have all of these traits on the list. So
here's the other thing. One of the things, because I being in YPO and EO and GOT and all these organizations with entrepreneurs that are driven, I saw a lot of really horrible marriages. So one of my attributes is that my wife had to understand driven entrepreneurial men because we're different, right? And one of the things I wanted no nepotism at all. So I wanted someone that was going to take care of the house and I was going to take care of business. And when we were together, it was because of the family. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of business. And so she fully understood that from day one and lets me have my space. One of the things that I do is I get up at 6 a.m. on Wednesday and I work till midnight every Wednesday, 18 hours. And the reason I do that is I don't have to check in with my wife. I got dinner tonight or can I, you know, what night of the week should I go out with a client or when can I do this or that? The other thing, if you have a fixed rhythm, like we have dinner as a family six nights a week and it's like clockwork and every Wednesday, I work late, so I don't have to like plan it. We don't have to get a babysitter on Monday night. We sit down with the kids for dinner. And then every Monday night since day one, we go out to dinner at 7:30. Mm-hmm. So I wanted somebody that could understand that life is better when you have these rhythms and systems and that being with a driven man is hard in most cases, but if you understand how they operate, it makes things better.
So Rick, in our last conversation, you talked about when you were looking to get married, you know, love wasn't on the high end of the list, right? You're saying love is important, but what you're saying is commitment was more important. You want to speak to that a little bit? Because that's really stood with me a lot because, you know, you get that infatuation in the very beginning, then it burns off. But if that person, you two are very committed to each other and committed to your family, and that will get you through the thick and the thin, those potholes, those mistakes. So can you both speak to that a little bit?
You want me to start?
Sure.
I think it's a massive mistake if two people fall in love at first sight, and they think that they should get married. Love comes and goes. It's like this. Mm-hmm. Commitment stays forever. And if you could have a vision of where you want to be in 50 years, that's the glue. It isn't love. And oftentimes couples 3, 5, 10 years in, they go, oh, remember how we used to be? Mm-hmm. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Most long-term couples that I know that are happy, it wasn't love at first sight. It was alignment. It was values. It was shared interests. It was divide and conquer in some regards. And I think that's the most misunderstood thing about long-term marriages that people don't get because they're looking for love at first sight. That's bullshit to look for love at first sight, in my opinion.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, a lot of people get into a marriage and they have these expectations in the marriage where, you know, Gino is going to make me happy And so the day I don't feel happy, it's his fault.
I'm blamed for a lot of stuff.
A lot of things are his
fault. I hope I'm not blamed for that.
But seriously, and we have these unmet expectations because we're looking for that other person to make us happy, give us joy. But meanwhile, it's us that has the issue. We have to work at it. But I love that you said that, the commitment, because that really holds to it. You know, we didn't have the best of communication early on, but what we did have was commitment and we had trust. I knew he was going to always provide for us no matter what. I had no doubt in my mind.
And we still sometimes, as far as the communication, we just did a live event this weekend, right? It was Saturday, Sunday. My wife and I did a presentation. So at the end.
Well, let me finish. We did a presentation and all our kids were there working.
Yeah. And okay. So at the end of the presentation, I'm thanking everybody. And I forgot to thank my wife. We get in the elevator and she goes, "You know, you didn't even thank me." And have you ever, I felt so lost.
Tell me about
like
that.
Such a loser. Like, I can't even explain to you. And you know what? It's the commitment. I just, you know, it's one of those things where I don't want to say I expected it, but she's always there for me and I'm always there for her. And sometimes as couples, we should really say thank you all the time. And I just forgot. And that feeling, I still haven't been able to shake that feeling. Do you know that? I mean,
well, the thing to remember too, Gino, is that I know that you are up there and I know you are thankful. So that's something to remember.
Yeah, but at the same time, I dropped the ball. So I mean,
keep
like
talking
we do
about
that.
It.
I mean, I just felt like I'm digging myself in a hole, but just to all the couples and everyone listening out there, just be thankful. I mean, like, say it. I mean, like, I assume it too much, right? Because we do stuff for each other, and that's what happens with commitment. That's why I'm committed to her. I will do anything for her, but sometimes I don't show it and I don't express it. So that's my bigger point. Do you guys ever fall into that?
Sure. I think every day. Mm-hmm. I think we can all be more thankful mm-hmm. and gracious. I wanted to just say, I think commitment is love.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. I mean,
it all ties together. No,
it
I
all
agree.
Ties together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way. I've always just trusted mm-hmm. Rick. And so I just know we're always going to be on the up and up.
Yeah.
So Melissa, what drives you nuts about Rick? I mean, like, we painted this beautiful picture that you're committed you know, for me, what you guys are doing, you guys have a great plan.
I feel like this is like a couple's therapy.
No.
Time do we have?
You have a great plan, right? But it's long term. And the problem with your mother or a father, you need 15, 20 years to see if the plan is working. So in the beginning, to have that structure and that commitment and having those rhythms must have been really challenging. I mean, you know, can you speak to that also? And, you know, other things that may drive you a little nuts.
Sure. It's funny because I have the gift of, I can be structured, but I can also be off the cuff or spontaneous, unlike my husband. So it's one of the things I love the most about him, but it does drive me nuts. Like when he can't sleep at night because I changed something in the closet, you know? So actually it makes me giggle.
Yeah.
He's got OCD. So, yes. So that is very funny. Sometimes it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Like when he starts to grout the bathroom floor 5 minutes before we're on our way to mass, and he knew mass was at 11, but, that grout needed to be done that second. So,
you're very similar, Gino.
Yes.
Rick. It's so funny.
I have a thing I say all the time, Ohio, O-H-I-O.
It's my least favorite state.
Only handle it once. So when I walk in the house, I put stuff where it goes. I handle things one time, no matter what it is. And it's just like, I hate Ohio. I'm not Ohioing anything.
I really don't hate Ohio. It's a lovely state, actually.
290 days of no sun? Come on now. That's killing me, Ohio, right?
But Melissa, I heard you say something, and it's so true. I feel like the secret to getting over our spouse's irritating ways is to learn to love them. You just said something that was so irritating, and at the same time, it was also hysterical to you. And I love that. So if we could learn to love other people's faults, I think we'll be all right.
I explain to people that don't know my husband, I always say he's like a cartoon character. He just makes me giggle.
That's awesome.
I love it.
I want to ask this question because my wife never wants to talk business on the show, but I always want to.
So not true. Sometimes I bring it up.
I always want to talk back to business. How can a spouse help their partner, even if they don't work in the business? Because a lot of spouses out there want to be supportive. How do you guys handle that?
Well, I think my job is being supportive to him and making sure that when he is at home, it's not chaotic. He needs to walk in and have everything in its place and dinner ready. I mean, he just needs that. And so my goal is, I mean, the house could have exploded 2 hours prior, but for him never to see that. And not because I have to, because I want to. Mm-hmm. I want him to come home and be able to be present. I think for me, the way I'm able to support him is that I always know that he is doing what he does for us. Mm-hmm. And so if it doesn't go with my plan, I'm pretty great about saying, okay, go do it. And we'll go do this. You know, I'm very flexible mm-hmm. if he needs to change anything.
Tell me how you are, Melissa, with the kids, because the kids watching our relationship and our marriage obviously is going to have an effect in their future. So are you the type to explain to the kids why you're doing it, or do you just do it and watch and have them watch it?
Watch what?
Well, watch the way that you make sure the house is somewhat in order. Dinner's ready when Rick comes home, because it's important. I realized I never really said anything until the kids were a little older. And then I realized someone said, why are we doing this? I'm like, well, because, you know, and then I realized I never actually communicated that with words to the kids until they were older.
They for sure watch me. I think they know how Rick is, and they know that we have to keep things simple mm-hmm. and in order for our family to mm-hmm. thrive. And mm-hmm. so I don't know if I've ever actually said, I mean, I'll go run upstairs, turn out all the lights because you can't stand lights on. Run upstairs, daddy's coming. And so
I just wanted to say something real quick. Gabriella is editing this podcast, and Gabby, this is for you. It's not just daddy. Okay.
Thank you. You're making me look great, bro. That's all I got to say. Thank you. There's a reason why we did this podcast, because I'm not that bad. I'm not the only one.
Well, things need to be a certain way. That's how we grow up. But here's the thing I tell the kids all the time, you know, God first, mm-hmm. mom and dad second, mm-hmm. family third, kids fourth, fun fifth. And if kids grow up knowing that mommy and daddy as a couple are more important than them, they feel stronger. There's a lot of research on that. Mm-hmm. And so they don't go, why are you going on date night every Monday? Mm-hmm. They grew up with that. Yeah. They grew up with Sundays. We do nothing on Sundays. We get up, we go to church, we come home, we have a big meal, we stay home. There's no electronics, there's mm-hmm. no games, there's no, games outside the house. We mm-hmm. play games. But all these rhythms and rituals strengthen them as kids. And I feel like our kids are incredibly, what would you say?
Resilient.
Grounded.
Grounded is probably mm-hmm. a good word. Grounded, confident.
Yeah.
Innocent.
Innocent, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's important, to keep the innocence, because I feel like it's too easily taken from them nowadays, and to keep their innocence as long as we can. Mm-hmm.
Is pretty powerful. And this is a teachable moment for everyone out there who's looking to relocate. You know, Julie and I did this almost four years ago from New York to Florida. And what Rick said is really important. Our happiness should come first. I was miserable up in New York, and people like, oh, I can't take my kids out of school. I can't break them up from their friends, but I'm having a rough time in New York. I know the policies aren't there. I know my family, my kids won't be able to live there. So I have to make our situation happy and productive. When we moved down to Florida, a couple of the kids were really resistant. They really didn't like it, right? And a couple of the older ones loved it. The younger ones didn't care. But the two in the middle were like, you know, dad. And now fast forward 3 years, and it's like the best thing we ever did. So everyone out there looking to do that, take Rick's advice. It's really important mm-hmm. that you have a solid foundation yeah. and then you grow up.
That was one of the conversations that we had. That's why I asked you, is now that you reminded me, is one of the kids said, why are we moving so far away? We don't know anyone. And all I said was, daddy needs this. And there was nothing they could say because they couldn't justify any of their reasons. There just wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important that they see that strong foundation, that strong relationship.
Give me those fives again. Those fives again. Everyone write this down. I love this.
So God first. Mom and dad second, meaning our relationship is second. Family and family activities are third. Kids and their individual pursuits, like sports, are fourth. And then fifth is fun. And here's what we're not saying, which is massive, and I wish people would get this. We don't exist to drive our kids to sporting events. We don't. That's not, we're not going to be taxis. We don't, that's not what we do. And you see so many families give up the marriage because the kid's on a travel soccer league. It's absolutely insane, in my opinion. I've seen so many marriages decimated because Johnny wants to play hockey. And we know several families very close who the kid was good at hockey. Now the parents are divorced and the kid was committed to hockey. Now he's not playing hockey and he's on drugs. If you put your priorities in the order of five, God first, family, I'm sorry, mom and dad second, family third, kids activities fourth, and fun fifth, and the kids know that's the priority, and our kids know it, they have this sense of groundedness and self-confidence. And, you know, my kids had a game last night in something, and my son says to me on Tuesday, hey, Dad, I know you can't come to my game, but ask me about it on Thursday. I think that's great. And my sister goes, I can't believe you don't go to every single one of their games. Like, I don't live to sit on the sidelines of kids' sports. It's ridiculous. And what it does is it gives them confidence that they're going to be independent, because our number one objective is to create independent, entrepreneurial, earning. They got to earn their own money, 18-year-olds.
So I got to go back to this. Melissa, when you first got married and you were hearing all this, honestly, you must have been like completely overwhelmed, because I think I overwhelmed my wife with the same concepts and shutting the lights off. And, you know, I can just see this, because
it's not about us. It's about them.
We've had a progression through this whole thing. So can you walk us through it, honestly? Because we're making it seem really easy now, but I'm sure you guys have had a lot of, you know, discussions and a lot of, you know, the
rule two is, as you have children too, you realize that it does take effort to follow. It takes effort, especially when they're questioning and their friends are doing other things. It is hard, you know, and even when they get older, now we have two in college, it's weird. It's a weird separation. It's hard to explain, but it gets there.
To answer your question, I don't feel like it all hit me at once. I mean, it definitely was gradual, and priorities changed, and just growing in our relationships, our growing as parents, growing in the Lord. All of it has been just steady, I think. And so it was never overwhelming. I mean, sometimes when he would come up with a concept, I would just say, okay. And I know it'll work out. And it does. Our kids know the family placemat. Mm-hmm. They know what we stand for. Yes.
Yep.
But it wasn't all at once. Like, we had the placemat when Luke was a baby. So obviously we weren't teaching him what was on it at that point. But so I guess it was, it's marinating.
So for those of the people out there who don't know what the placemat is, you want to go over that, Rick, real quick, and just let them know they can actually structure their life. Yes. If you're a business person right now, you should have core values and you should have a mission statement for your life. You should have the same thing for your personal life and your relationships. So can you expand upon that a little bit?
There's something that no one ever talks about in business or in society or in families, and it's this notion of permanence, putting things in place that are forever. You know, the Catholic Church didn't say, go, we'll just do this for a few months and see how the Sunday thing works out. No, it's a formula. And you think about massive companies that started with one person, whether it's Amazon or any company that you look up to, they have rhythms and rituals that are permanent. And so many families, they just go with the flow. Yeah, we should get around to that mission statement thing. So what we decided to do was put every single thing we stood for on a permanent document that never changed. And it's at our family's dinner table. And we go through it. We'll ask kids to read every single night one thing from the placemat. And it's got our family meeting rhythms, it's got our values, our crests, et cetera. And the point of this was, I believe in permanence. And if you're going to put a permanent structure in your marriage, what is it going to force you to do? You're really going to think about it, mm-hmm. right? And so we really thought about it. And some of the concepts that Melissa was like, huh, no cell phones, no TV in the house, unless it's just a DVD player, which is what we have. No video games in the house. We don't do anything on Sunday. And you can imagine my kid, when he first started playing sports, older, we don't let him play sports when they're young. Mm-hmm. I said to the coach, no, he can't go to practice on Sunday. And mm-hmm. the coach was like, why? I said, it's family day. Don't you know the Ten Commandments? Mm-hmm. And he felt so bad. I sent him and his wife an email because he was the guy telling everybody how religious he was. These simple things are in place for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's because they build great families. Mm-hmm. And it's all simple stuff. But unfortunately, we live in a society that FOMO, got to have everything, got to have every app, got to have every device, got to be in every sport, got to be miserable, got to take 6 billion pills a month. I've learned a month. Americans take 6 billion pills a month for mental issues. Mm-hmm. Total insanity. It's mm-hmm. because of fear of missing out, FOMO. Oh, and it's just driving our society bonkers, in my opinion.
And for everyone else out there, the reason why I love the Family Place Matters, it's also an accountability tool. You're being held accountable to it every day, every week, every month. And I think kids like structure, right? Think of it this way. You have a fence around, and as they get older, that fence has boundaries. They can't go outside that fence. But as they get older, those boundaries get pushed. And every now and again, the child wants to go out of those boundaries. But our job as parents is to keep them in those boundaries and expand them as they get older. So,
you know, Rick, you had mentioned fear of missing out, and you think about all the devices, all the video games. But I really do think it's the opposite. I feel like people are not knowing that they're missing out on the family. They're missing out on the way you raise your family. They are. Sometimes they don't notice it until later on, but they can have all the stuff. They can get everything for Christmas and they're still not satisfied. It says a lot. They're desiring, they're looking for family, for love. And I think that makes me sad.
Yeah. You know, you asked about the fruit, and I want to ask Melissa this. We have noticed recently, as they've gotten older now, they're 6, 8, 10, and 12, that our kids don't need that much, mm-hmm. that they're completely okay if mommy and daddy can't see their game. Mm-hmm. There's no meltdowns. It's like, oh, okay, I'll let you know how I did.
Yes.
And there's things that Melissa forces on them, which I think is awesome, like practicing the piano mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. I hate the piano. And yet my son, both of them are like concert pianists.
Yes. Keep it up.
How did you, because that wasn't part of your attributes, like all the rhythms and rituals and things like that.
No, they were always part of my personality. It's just, I do them differently. Mm-hmm. I do them I just do them differently, not mm-hmm. at 10 o'clock every day. Yes. So
you get things done, but you don't have it scheduled like Rick. Is correct. That what you mean? Yeah.
Correct.
I'm telling you, we're going to get along really well.
I have a thing on my calendar every single day at 11:30 pops up. It says, call your wife. And for like the first 10 years, I'm like, honey, it's 11:30 every single day. Oh, I was busy.
I mean, you have babies, you have kids.
Answer the damn phone at 11:30 every day.
I have to say that, Melissa, you're so right that with children, especially babies, the scheduling just doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I've got to say one thing here. I thought my wife was a walking saint. Oh my gosh. That's all I'm saying, Rick.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
I'll tell you one thing for everybody that we've done for years, and it really works. And it's, I don't know if you remember, you said, when do you want to do the podcast? And I said, that's easy. Thursday at noon. So you know how couples, they get together for date night, or they just get together and they're talking about utilitarian things like kids and trips and this mm-hmm. and that. So we've decided, it's right on our placement, that we have a business meeting once a week. She comes to the office and we do all that stuff then, bills, conversations, trips, any calls we have to make. Mm-hmm. And then when we're on date night, there's a lot less of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage anybody out there, if you, I would also encourage, don't work together because that, but anyway, a lot of people do that. If you don't work together, have a business meeting once a week like we do.
See, on the flip side, that's where me and you, I guess we veer off a little bit. I love working with my wife. We have the podcast. I've actually, she became a life coach.
But we're not partners in the business. When it comes to business decisions, I don't even go there. That's completely on him. So I just walk into his office and start the podcast. You know what I mean? And then I go back to my, what I have to do. So we do work together, but it's a different level of working together. We're not making business decisions and the money and all that stuff, you know?
Well, yeah. You're collaborating on an idea. Yes. Like we're collaborating on this big event we have tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you were in your house. So Melissa had to drive downtown Dallas.
I had to walk a few feet and okay. It was drizzling too. So.
So talk about working from home when the pandemic started the very first day. Cause I get up early and leave. It's the first day, the whole state is shut down. And she looks at me, she goes, "What are you doing here?" And I'm like, "Well, I think everything's shut down." She goes, "Get out. You don't stay in my house during the business day."
I love it. It's very stressful. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Melissa, I'm sure you understand is that the other day I had to run one of the kids to an early morning dentist appointment. I'm like, "Listen, nobody's here. The other kids were at college. Please stay in the house and do your call." He was so stressed out. The girls were like, "Mom, don't do that happened. Ever again," because he was yelling with his hands, trying not to talk. It was super stressful. And it's just one of those moments where you realize that, not in a mean way, but you guys just aren't used to that.
But you know what? They're asking me about a positives and I'm doing algebra and I'm trying to do a call and I'm the coaching call in the morning. I'm like, I can't multitask. I'm not that person. I have to do one thing, focus on it and get it done. And
that's
if it
correct.
Wanders. Yeah. Right. I mean, like,
well, because you're so strict with your schedule.
No, but I think men are different.
Honest to God, if that happened to me and she left me with two kids at home, I would tie them up, stick them to the wall and put them in a back room.
That's the next time. Okay. So the next time you're going to walk in and I'm telling you, and that's what I'm saying. She didn't come home. I didn't even say thank you for taking that off my plate, you know, every day. So I'm saying thank you right now. But that's something like with the commitment. I think when you're committed to somebody, you don't have to say thank you. Like my partner, Jake, he went to a showing yesterday with some crazy lady. It's probably wasted an hour and a half of his day. I didn't say, "Hey, Jake, thanks for going to that showing." And the same thing as the partner, me doing my responsibilities. He doesn't say thank you to me when I get responsibilities. We just do our own thing and we work well as partners. And I think that translates into, I think, family life as well as business life.
I do. And I do think that, you know, in a strong marriage and a strong family, we do know that we're all thankful. I don't say thank you to go to work. We just are thankful. And, you know, I do you guys agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, we're confident in our relationships, right. And so you don't need the constant. Yes.
I also think it sounds like you guys have it, and I think good couples have it naturally, but you have a divide and conquer mentality, meaning your roles don't cross over. Exactly. I know you cook, Gino, and I grew up cooking, but she owns the kitchen.
I don't think he did.
She won't let me go in the damn kitchen. She's like, "The kitchen is my domain."
Okay, let's just clear something up for all the listeners. My husband had a restaurant for many, many, many years and cooked in that restaurant. But the minute he came home, he didn't know where anything was and he didn't know how to do anything. So just so everyone's clear, no, he does not cook and he never did.
And I'll give everyone a tip. Everyone would come over for our parties. We'd have parties every month, 50, 60 people. And before they came in, I'd get the parsley and throw it in. And everyone would walk in and think that I did all
you
the cooking.
You would always stirring the sauce as people literally were walking and they're eating. They're like, "Gino, this is amazing." And every single time.
After the fourth or fifth time, I'm like, "I got to keep doing this.
It was kind of funny.
So,
you know. That doesn't happen in our house. It's like, "Rick, get the hell out of the kitchen."
I love that. Melissa, I have really one more question for you. And this is for the moms out there. How do you overcome challenges of being a mom with four kids, you know, in this time, now that you have to homeschool, that you have such a tough husband? I mean, all this stuff going on. How do you overcome those challenges?
Well, I think I'm really blessed that I have an attitude of gratitude. I'm just very thankful. I'm thankful that I do get to be home with them every day. I'm thankful that he's able to provide a life where I have all the tools. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful babysitter who's been with us for 10 years and mm-hmm. she comes in the afternoons. So that gives me time to go to the grocery store or work on the computer mm-hmm. or work individually with one of my kids, one of our kids.
Everybody needs to know this secret. It's a massive secret. And families that have done this, it's crazy. They get the nanny from 8 to 4. Mm-hmm. We've had the nanny for 10 or 11 years. Mm-hmm. She does their bath. She does their homework. She mm-hmm. helps cook dinner. She mm-hmm. helps clean up. She helps put them to bed. That's when you want it, when all the action's happening.
She's there when we're there. She eats dinner with us. It's mm-hmm. not so that we leave, it's so that we have mm-hmm. support. So that's a blessing. And not everybody has that mm-hmm. luxury, I would say.
Yeah.
But I think, I've been so blessed to have Rick give me all the tools. Anything I ask for the kids, mm-hmm. He always provides it. And they're really just great kids. And so the challenges, I think, that the challenges are just that they fight. I mean, honestly, that's my hardest challenge with the kids. The logistics, it's fun.
Melissa, that's real though. I'm going to venture to say that if you didn't have those tools, you'd still make it happen.
Yeah.
So that's just the tool that you and the luxury that you do have. But I think your faith, I think your commitment, mm-hmm. I think your relationship also helps you with that. So for everyone out there, if you don't have that, you don't need it because that's just another tool in the toolbox, but you don't need that. That's just something to help you out. Melissa would figure it out one way or the other because she's grounded, because she's intelligent, because she has a great spouse who's supportive. So all those things that we're looking for, you know, if you're a man out there, you need to step up and you know, help out the other side.
Oh, I love that. That's nice.
You like that, huh?
A friend of mine came to me this week for counseling on his marriage. And I said, you know, he's bitching and moaning about his wife. And
was he an asshole? Because you told me asshole last time. So
an asshole is a person who asks for advice over and over, but never takes it. And I said to him point blank, I said, you need to own how your family turned out. You need to take responsibility mm-hmm. for your wife and her actions, because anything that happens around me is my responsibility, especially in my family. Mm-hmm. And he literally had tears in his eyes and he said, no one ever talked to me like mm-hmm. that. And I said, so when he left, I called his cell phone. And I go, dude, what are you going to do about the conversation we just had? Because mm-hmm. you were acting as if all this stuff happens around you by coincidence. There's one person in the middle of that storm, and it's you. And I think marriages are like that. Both people have to own the relationship. They have to own the family. They have to own the outcome. They can't mm-hmm. be pointing fingers and blaming. That's how I feel.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Everyone needs to rewind that piece and listen to it over and over again. Because back in 2008, when everyone was going bankrupt and there were certain people making millions of dollars, I wasn't one of those people. And I read a book by T. Harv Eker called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Everyone should go check the book out because it talks exactly about that. I'm blaming the government. I'm blaming the president. I'm blaming the economy. I'm blaming everything except for myself. Once I ultimately took responsibility for my actions and for what was coming into my life, everything changed, because responsibility gives you a plan and it gives you hope. And if you don't have that, and this is what's going on with this generation, we're easy to blame other people and in other political parties. Look around you, see what's going on, and assess it. That's very powerful. It may seem mundane, but once you say to yourself, I accept responsibility for all the mistakes I made, now how do I fix those mistakes? Your life is not going to change. Once you do that, sky's the limit.
No, I love that, because it is. It's one of those moments where you have to pay attention to your thoughts, pay attention to what you're saying. And if you are blaming everyone, okay, what, like Gino said, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Be responsible. Great.
Any parting words, guys, before we let you go?
Do you have anything?
We're excited to see you guys in Florida in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And thank you guys for doing what you do. It's really amazing. It's, people don't realize the commitment that you have to stop your life with 6 kids and just make this happen. So mm-hmm. we're honored that you asked us to be on. Nothing that we're doing, that you're doing, or we're doing is magic. Anybody can do mm-hmm. it, but it just takes you guys saying no to all that shit that's infiltrating mm-hmm. your family and your life and your kids, and just say no. And I'll leave with a quote. You got to say something, honey. But this quote from Warren Buffett, he says, the difference between successful people, and I could say marriages, and extremely successful people in marriages is that extremely successful people say no to almost everything. Mm-hmm. They only say yes to things that align mm-hmm. with their values.
Yeah. I love that. I love it.
Right. Melissa.
Well, thank you so much for having us on. And I really am excited to meet you guys. I have so many questions. So I can't wait to get to know you guys more.
Yes, I am excited.
So the relationship started back in 2006, where they met in their building with a note, and they went out on a date, and Rick hands over a document about his list. And from there it started. And to have four beautiful kids, to have a great relationship, to really have clarity, to have goals, to have values, to have everything documented, and to be able to give that to their kids, and to be able to live that every day, and to show their kids what relationships are and what the family really is, and keeping it centered. And everybody, write this down one more time. It's God, mom and dad, family, kids, and fun. And I think we actually aspire to that also. And that's our blueprint. That may be your blueprint out there. See if it works for you. It's done a great job for Rick and Melissa and for Gino and Julia.
Yes, I love it. I have one request. I know that the two of you speak Italian and poor me and Melissa don't. So I think that was number five on your list. But maybe we could like make that happen.
Oh, you could
maybe
learn.
Teach us. Oh. How about you guys teach us?
No, we talked about being immersed in Italy.
That's right. We could go on a nice trip.
Next
so
year.
And the boys can stay home. Oh,
with the kids.
Boy.
And we'll go to Italy for a month.
Oh, the two of you are going to go.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
I think that's a good idea.
You guys don't need to go.
The kids are going to be stuck in a wall in the closet if you leave us alone. Are you kidding me?
It'll be a great adventure. You guys would write a book after.
I got to send you guys the Velcro suits.
And Melissa, one more favor, please shut off all the lights and just lock it down over there for me, please.
I'm like, no one's in these rooms. Why are the damn lights on? I don't get it.
That's another thing he'll do right before church. He'll change light bulbs, like get off the ladder.
Dude, I can't. You are my long lost brother,
so
man.
Funny. This is hysterical.
Anyway, thanks guys for being on. We appreciate it.
Awesome talking to you too.
Take care, everybody. Bye.